Welcome to 9to5 Mac Daily for Monday, January 27th, 2020. I'm Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Mac Stadium. Apple is expected to unveil iOS 14 and iPadOS 14 at WWDC in June. Ahead of that release, a new rumor from iPhoneSoft suggests that this year's iOS release will support all of the same devices as iOS 13. iPadOS, on the other hand, is reportedly destined to make some cuts. According to the rumor, iOS 14 will continue to support the iPhone SE, as well as the iPhone 6S and every iPhone introduced since then. That also includes the 7th generation iPod Touch. But with that being said, the rumor also hedges that it's possible Apple may end up dropping support for the iPhone SE and iPhone 6S, depending on how the next few months of development play out. And as for the iPad lineup, the rumor says Apple will drop support for the iPad Mini 4, originally introduced in September of 2015, and the iPad Air 2, introduced in October of 2014. These devices are powered by Apple's A8 and A8X chips and have since been replaced by newer models. Supported iPad models for iPadOS 14 reportedly include every iPad Pro, the 5th-gen iPad and newer, the 5th-gen iPad Mini, and the 3rd-generation iPad Air. The rumors should be treated with some skepticism, though. Last year, iPhoneSoft said that iOS 13 would drop support for the iPhone SE, but that ultimately was not the case. The site did accurately predict, however, that the iPhone 5S and iPhone 6 would be left on iOS 12. Apple has an incentive to keep as many iPhone and iPad devices on the latest version of iOS as possible, namely security and access to the latest features of subscription services like Apple TV Plus and Apple Arcade. Apple is expected to introduce iOS 14 and iPadOS 14 in just a few months at WWDC. A couple of weeks ago, we told you about the unofficial Apple Archive developed by Sam Henry Gold. It contained over 15,000 Apple ads and keynotes and other content, with Gold saying his goal was to inspire the next era of creative people. But now, in an unsurprising but disappointing development, Apple has taken action against the archive through a series of DMCA takedown notices. On Friday afternoon, Gold received a barrage of Digital Millennium Copyright Act takedown notices from Apple's lawyers. These notices informed him that Vimeo had taken down his videos at the requests of Apple. At this point, Sam says he hasn't heard anything directly from Apple's lawyers, and he is still keeping the site up with the videos that remain. As of right now, there are 264 videos on the unofficial Apple Archive, but that's a far cry from the original collection of over 15,000. It's certainly understandable that Apple feels the need to protect its copyright, but it's disappointing to see the company take action against such a thorough and detailed archive of its history, especially when no official solution exists. And without the unofficial Apple Archive, many of these images and videos will be lost to the test of time. We are sponsored this week by Mac Stadium, provider of Mac infrastructure as a service. As anyone creating apps for Mac or iOS knows, Apple requires you to build with macOS on authentic Mac hardware. Unfortunately, this leaves many dev teams working with their own hardware in-house, Mac Pros in a closet or a stack of Mac Minis under a desk. Mac Stadium has solved this problem by making Mac private clouds available in enterprise-grade data centers around the world. They're like AWS, Azure, or GCP, but for Mac hardware. Mac Stadium also recently debuted Orca, a new virtualization layer that lets developers integrate with standard tools like Docker to create and manage Mac clouds. And for 9to5 Mac daily listeners, Mac Stadium is offering 50% off the first 2 months of a Mac Mini subscription with code 9to5Mac at the link in the show notes below. My thanks to Mac Stadium for their support of 9to5 Mac daily. Apple has responded to the latest EU efforts to enforce a standardized single connector for smartphones like the iPhone. Apple says that such regulation that forces conformity across the type of connector will stifle innovation. According to Apple, the proposed EU rules would force it to abandon the Lightning port and inconvenience customers, as well as cause vast amounts of electronic waste from people needing to ditch all of their Lightning accessories like docking stations and car adapters. The headline version of the latest EU planning is forming a standard for universal phone charging. Essentially, this means that all smartphones would have to use the same standard port, whether it be something like USB-C or something entirely new. But Apple's comments suggest that this would have implications on the physical port of the phone, too. Apple's statement indicates that shipping just an adapter with the iPhone won't be satisfactory. Instead, the EU wants to require changes to physical ports on the phone as well. So Apple couldn't just ship a Lightning to USB-C adapter in the box. The actual port on the iPhone would have to comply with whatever standard the EU sets. Ultimately, Apple says that it hopes the European Commission will come to a solution that does not restrict the industry's ability to innovate. Apple switched the iPad Pro to USB-C in 2018 and the MacBook Pro in 2016, but so far the iPhone hasn't gone through any such change. Changing the port on the iPhone, given its popularity, is a vast undertaking. In fact, a recent report from Ming-Chi Kuo said that Apple could remove the connector from the iPhone altogether by as early as 2021. This would presumably happen before the EU could actually pass and implement its standardized charging guidance. In Apple's mind, it's probably much easier to remove the charging port altogether and rely on wireless charging than it is to undergo a significant change to the iPhone's connectivity options again. Other things new on 9to5 Mac today include our full look at everything we know so far about the iPhone 12 lineup. We've also got the latest episode of the 9to5 Mac Happy Hour podcast, which includes a special interview with astronaut Garrett Reisman, who was a consultant on the Apple TV Plus original For All Mankind. You can find both of those stories at the links in the show notes below. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, you can keep up with all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.